This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses.
Hey guys, this is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all the ways to not get screwed in the construction industry. And today we're going to talk about numbers, meaning your books, like everything that everybody's always afraid of and just wants to close their eyes and pretend it doesn't exist. Yes, we need to really look at those things so we can make informed business decisions. And today I have an expert in the field with me, Gina Malvestuto. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Yeah. All right, awesome. With Green Tree Bookkeeping. And we're going to talk about all things numbers and why it's important. Welcome to the show, Gina. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, no worries. All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in the books and all the things.
Well, the name of my business is Green Tree Bookkeeping. This summer, I'm celebrating my 20th year anniversary, which is I can't even believe it. 20 years has flown by. My actual very first bookkeeping gig was a senior in high school, and I was as part of a nonprofit group that helped troubled teenagers. And okay. I was a peer counselor for them, and they were needing some bookkeeping assistance. And that was actually my very first bookkeeping gig. And then I've always kind of did bookkeeping. My dad had owned businesses and I did the bookkeeping for him. And then I worked in corporate America and I had these side bookkeeping businesses. And then after being in corporate America for a dozen or so years, I decided to join a CPA firm. And I thought, this is really where my passion is. I'm going to join a CPA firm. And when I did that, it was probably the worst 9 months of my entire life. And the reason is that the clientele that this gentleman had, the top tier echelon clients that he would roll out the red carpet and these clients would come in and they would treat us like complete crap. Mm-hmm. And then the other 80% of his business were all these little guys. And I saw the owner treating the business owners like crap. And it made my stomach hurt and I thought it wasn't right. And to me, it was always about the little guys. I mean, the little guys is what makes up our economy in America. And I thought, forget this. And I started my own business.
So did you take any of those little guys with you?
When I very first started for the first year and a half, I had a partner and she had brought in two or three, but past that, I literally, the very next day, like a business, I joined a chamber. And I just hit the pavement and networked and worked for part-time jobs until I was able to support it. Yeah.
So because we're both coaches for Tom Reber, so are a lot of your guys in the construction industry?
Yes, a lot of them are. And this fall, late summer, fall, will be 20 years Tom's been my client.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
He's been with you since the beginning.
He has. When he first started his very first business, I think it was like, I literally had been in business only like 2 months and we met at a Starbucks. And so that's how I met Tom. And we've been together through like three different businesses now. So yeah, it's been really fun to watch the progression of him start something and grow and then blossom and do something else. And I've been like a little proud mama bear, like being the cheerleader back here. It's been really, really awesome.
He's done a great job as helping the contractors, you know, really level the playing field as far as sales and everything. And he realizes that books are an important part of that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's amazing how many people don't see it as being important and don't even like focus on it. And they focus on everything else, but they totally miss like an opportunity to really help their business. It's kind of sad to see.
So tell me a little bit about the services you provide and how they help these guys actually take a look at the numbers.
Well, I provide services in a couple different ways. One is I actually do the bookkeeping where we will take a client's books and depending on the level, we'll like enter the data, reconcile all the accounts, provide a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement. Sometimes we also provide like an accounts receivable statement or accounts payable statement and kind of go over their numbers and really pay attention to what looks right and what looks wrong. Some people, it's a combination of they do some, we do some. And then there's clients where I just train them. I've done a lot of training and coaching on their QuickBooks, whether it's desktop or online, and teach the people in their office what they should be looking for and how to process the bookkeeping end of it. And I think I want to add something here, because a lot of people sometimes get confused of what the difference between a bookkeeper and a CPA is. And this is kind of how I usually explain it, is a CPA is like the big picture person. You usually have a CPA who does your tax return, and they're not only doing your business tax return, but they're also doing your personal tax return. And because they're seeing the personal side of things, they can make decisions on the business side of things of like how much they should depreciate or not. And okay. Like how long, like if you have a huge asset, how long to stretch that out, because they're seeing the big picture. But the information they're getting from the business is usually the year-end stuff. The mm-hmm. bookkeeper is the person who sees the day-to-day items that come in, all the different lines of income, all the different lines of expenses, all, if you got a new loan and making sure that gets on the books. Like the bookkeeper is the day-to-day details, where a CPA is like the big picture person. So that's kind of like how I usually tell people the difference between the two.
You're helping make sure the stuff that they turn over to the CPA is correct.
Exactly. Exactly. Gotcha.
And you teach them how to read all this stuff? Because when I started out, I'm still kind of afraid, like P&L and all of that different things.
Yes. And the, one of the things, I think the biggest piece to that, when I talk to like a new client, is when the first term I usually use is chart of accounts, and they're usually like, no, what? And they don't even know what that means, chart of accounts. And so how I usually like to explain that, like in a simple term, is if you take your balance sheet and all the items that are on your balance sheet, and then you take your profit and loss, some people call it income statement, and stick it right underneath that balance sheet, every single line item you read on both of those reports are your chart of accounts.
So everything that comes in and comes out.
Yep, everything. So you will see every single item accounted for in one of those two reports. And whatever that line item is called is what that account is called.
Gotcha. So if you had to pick one report to look at on a monthly basis to tell the financial success or failure of a company, which one would you pick?
The P&L for monthly.
And why? Why would you pick that one? I'm just curious.
That is the one that is going to tell you, if you're really looking at it monthly, you're going to be able to keep an eye on like your gross profit mm-hmm. and know that your income and your cost of goods sold are being put in properly. You'll be able to see if your payroll is being entered properly. You'll be able to see if there's any like big spike that happened that like, hey, what was this? Like, the insurance, something in the insurance changed, and you're going to see that in a month to month, where I think that's kind of important. Like if something like a rate went up that you didn't even pay attention to and it tripled, you're going to see it when you look at that monthly P&L and be calling that insurance agency going, hey, what happened here? So that's where I think you'll be able to see if there's any kind of misinformation happening. You'll see that on your P&L monthly.
And so when we say P&L, it's profit and loss, and it's just for that month by itself, like what
Correct.
You brought in, what you spent, and if there's anything left on the bottom line.
Exactly. And what I like to do too is if you're going to do that, you need to have it like, for example, you would do like January through April, but you would do it by month. So you could actually see the numbers and kind of see the flow of them, because that is going to give you a bigger picture.
So you should, like for a rent expense, that you should see that consistent rent expense every month. And if that fluctuated for some reason, you could see that clearly on when you're looking at all the P&Ls.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Oh, so why is it important for these guys in the construction industry to have an accurate set of books, just not for like their day-to-day operations?
Well, the first one is gross profit. You have to make sure you are covering your cost of the job just by the items in your cost of goods sold. And it's probably the one thing I see that doesn't happen a lot. Like, so for example, if you bid a job and the job is $50,000, but it costs you $48,000 to process it, you only have $2,000 left to pay your overhead expenses like rent and telephone and insurance and all those things that you need to run your business. And if you don't keep an eye on that and know what those numbers are, which you should know if you were job costing, then you know, that is like the biggest piece that I see a lot of people not pay attention to.
Because you could actually contracting pay somebody world. Else to go, you could pay them to work on their project if you don't know what your numbers are.
Exactly.
Not only not make money, but be paying them to do whatever work you're doing.
And not only that, but then like if the same type of project comes up and you know, you only made 2% on it. If you don't know that you only made 2% on it, how do you correct it next time you've got a similar job like that?
So tell me about this job costing. What is that?
It's taking the item. So if you have, like, we'll say a painting job, you have to have all your materials for the job, and then you have to pay somebody, and that could include yourself, because if you're an owner and you're still working in the field, if you weren't, you'd have to pay somebody. So any of the hourly work, whether it's an employee or a subcontractor, and the materials and everything needed to make that job happen. After the job is done, you look at the income you brought in and you look at all that those two items cost. So all the materials and all the labor and what was left over. And the difference is your, that's job costing. It's knowing how much you made on that job and what was the percent. And in the contracting world, a lot of things I speak to is when you are job costing, a lot of people go, oh, I want, you know, I'm looking for a 49%, like, you know, gross profit percent, which is the, you know, the percent that you've made from these jobs. Mm-hmm. And I always tell guys, if your goal is 49%, when you job cost, it needs to be higher. So if you're job costing, your goal for every job should be at like 53%. Because there are items that you purchase throughout the year that don't necessarily go to a job. We'll stick to the painter example. Like you would have to buy a ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have to buy some rollers. You might have to buy some tarps. And those items you use, you either dispose of them or the tarps, you're using them over and over again. Or your, you know, the extension roller, you're using over and over again. And so you're not putting it to a job, but it's still a cost of goods sold because you need that item to do the job. And those type of items bring your gross profit down. So hence the reason when you job cost, you have to job cost at a higher rate. So when you do look at your P&L, then you're looking at the goal you want to be at.
Do you help guys set up this job costing system? Is that something that they can do in QuickBooks? Is that something they do outside of QuickBooks?
Yes, to both.
So how do you set how do you help set them up? I'm curious.
It depends. It's, you know, it's kind of that's a really broad question because it really depends on their system and what they're using and how their process works. Because you could have there are contractors out here who will use like House Call Pros or Job Trend or Builder Trend. And they have that capability in that, and it doesn't need to go into QuickBooks because they're already doing that piece there. But if they don't have those things and they're doing all their invoicing and their payroll and everything in QuickBooks, then you can kind of do it in there. So it depends on the systems you're using. Part of it is payroll too. Are you doing payroll within QuickBooks or outside of QuickBooks? Because that will help determine if you can do that in QuickBooks or not. So it's kind of a tricky question, but there's always a way. There are always sheets. You can always do an Excel spreadsheet per job or a form per job, or, you know, there's a way to do job costing no matter how you're set up.
And you'll have them set them up regardless of what system they're on.
Correct.
You get to know their business, then you would help them set it up. Okay.
Yes.
So what if, and this is, I hear this all the time. What if, you know, you started a company, you didn't really have any money. You've been in business 2 or 3 years. Is it too late to hire someone like you at this point? Should they just keep winging it, or what should they do if they realize that, oh, I probably need to do this? How? Where do they even start?
Well, I would say the earlier the better. Don't wait those 2 or 3 years. But no, it's never too late. I've had people that have been in business like 10, 15 years and then come to me and realize that, you know, things are not right and have to be tweaked or done differently. or something's changed in their business and, you know, parameters change and we have to fix things. And so, yeah, it's never too late to bring in somebody like me for even for consulting, just to see where they go or to answer some questions. I mean, I have a gentleman who's literally been in business, I want to say over 20 years, and he's just been doing things his own way and it made sense to him, but mm-hmm. his business is really large and he wants to sell it. And he's realized to sell it, he's got to make it look not the way he's used to it looking because it made sense to him, but he's got to make it look so it makes sense to a buyer. And so I have spent the last year with him. We meet every, I don't know, 2 to 3 months, and we go over, okay, Gina, this is the part that doesn't look right. What do you think? And then we talk about how to fix it, and I give him homework, and then he goes and does his homework, and then another month or two later, he's like, all right, here's the next piece. I realize I didn't put this in here, and it should be in here. And I'm like, all right, well, let's, you know. So it's never too late.
And so I know some of these guys are really afraid of the expense. Is this something that they can, you know, how expensive is it generally? And then can they have like a subscription pricing or it's something that I think they should really invest in on the front end, regardless of the price. But
price, the way I personally look at it is if you are to go to a CPA and you give them a, you know, a big pile of bleh, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg because CPA offices are generally way more expensive than a bookkeeper's. In our office, it's just kind of a flat fee that we charge. We have a couple different rates based on what you're needing. If we do, you know, like I have someone who they've messed up all of 2021 and needs to get redone. So mm-hmm. back work, we charge a little bit more for because it really takes us out of our day-to-day to really concentrate on something like that, where the daily one is a little bit less expensive. And we just charge it like a rate that and we charge in 15-minute increments. Gotcha. There are other bookkeepers that charge a flat fee based on transactions, mm-hmm. and that's real common. So they'll say it's like $250 a month, but it's only for like so many transactions. And then they bill an additional based on additional transactions. And I mean, that works for people. I personally don't want my girls sitting there counting transactions. That just sounds silly to me. That doesn't sound efficient. I'm going to have my girl go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, I don't know. That does not make sense to me. In my head, that doesn't make sense to me. So that's kind of how our billing works.
Gotcha. And just something that's predictable and the same thing every month so it can be built into a budget.
Yes. I mean, and with your, like the person that I just talked to has to have, you know, all of 2021 done, you know, I preface that the first couple months are going to be really expensive, but you have to understand I'm doing a year, you know, in 2 months, you know, a year, a month to 2 months. So you're going to have to expect like you have to take it and divide by 12, so to speak, you know, of where I'm at. But overall, I would say right now in, where are we? May of 2022, my average client is probably anywhere from $200 to $300, $350, you know, a month, which that's to me is not a lot.
I think you couldn't afford not to do that. Right. Especially.
Exactly.
So like one of the first things you should get when you're opening your book is get a bookkeeper, set up the books correctly.
I think it's really funny. I'm sorry. I was thinking really funny is because, you know, people ask about price and like this is just so funny to me. So one is the first thing when I get a call from a contractor is they always go, I'm a, you know, XYZ in sales. And I go, okay, whatever. To me, like, it does not matter if you have like $100,000 in sales or $100 million in sales. Like your sales means nothing to me. It's how many transactions do you have? Because the transactions, how many you have is what's going to determine like how much it's going to cost to hire me. Exactly. I don't care what your sales are. It means nothing to me. But then the next question they always ask is how much you think this is going to cost. And it's like, that's like me saying, I've got this room to paint and it's not that big. How much do you think it's going to be? And then they start laughing. I'm like, you guys get this question all the time. And they're like, oh, our clients, you know, they want to know. We have no information. Well, I don't know what your bank statement looks like. I don't know how many credit cards you have, how many loans you have, like, you know, how many car, vehicle, equipment thingies do you have? Do you use PayPal? Do you use Square? Do you use Stripe? Like,
all of those things.
let me get my crystal ball. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It's still in the shop. They can't seem to fix my crystal ball.
Guess we're going to have to do this old-fashioned way. When I have questions, you're going to tell me all the things.
Exactly. And, you know, you're going to laugh. And I really tell this to people. As part of the time we spend is, for some clients, you could have the same client, the same number of transactions, and it would take me almost twice as long depending on the bank they have.
Really?
Yes. Like, I'll give you an example. Like Chase, which is obnoxious, they changed their format last year and they spaced everything out. Like, their balance or bank statement would be like 2 pages is now 5 because they spaced everything out. But it makes reading it really, really, really easy. Uh-huh. Then you have these other banks that, like, there's no space. And it's especially like credit unions. They it goes like, literally, this is how the line reads. Garbly gook, garbly gook, garbly gook, Home Depot, garbly gook, garbly, 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 you know, Chicago, Illinois, garbly gook, garbly book. No space, garbly gook, garbly book, BP, garbly gook. And so you're like taking a ruler and going, okay, where's the line that is the line that has the thing? And it's so hard to read, and you can't, it literally takes twice as long to enter because you can't read it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people don't even like have that concept. I know.
Well, cause they're probably not checking their own bank statements, you know?
Yep.
So once you get these books set up and they're all working right, how does that help you make decisions in your business? What kind of decisions can you make?
Oh, there's a handful. One, obviously, I'm just going to take some of the obvious ones is like, you look at your rent. Like, what's your rent? If you look in the area, are you paying what's right? You know, having that concept. Looking at your cell phone bills, you know, what has that gone up exponentially? You know, are you getting the best service? Like, those types of things are really good to look at. I look at cost of goods sold. I mean, right now, with how our economy and everything is going up, just being able to, I mean, that's where looking at P&L every month would help, right? Is knowing the increases and how that's affecting your bottom line. And are you making sure you're putting that in your bids when you're, you know, giving it to clients? Another one I like looking at are your hourly rates. And I like, especially if you're a business that has your guys working a lot of overtime, I like to break out overtime because I want to watch like how much that is, what's happening there. And is it being really cost effective or are they just milking it? I have a handful of clients right now. Like, I've had to have some hard conversations of, I'm sorry, it's November, December. Why are we having overtime? Like, and you're for people that they should not be having overtime, especially in the industry you're doing and you know, like those types of things you will catch in a P&L. Those types of things, it helps you make decisions. Like, if you notice things are getting tight, it helps you make decisions on, you know, should you be hiring somebody? Another piece is advertising. What's your advertising, you know, doing? You know, are you doing enough advertising? You know, did you only spend 1%? Well, maybe it's time to bump it up to like 5%. You know, or did you spend 30%? You've done a little too much and we got to like scale it back down. Gotcha. Office supplies. That's probably another big one, is not realizing what you're spending on office supplies and office equipment. So those types of things are what helps you do your like general, you know, day-to-day decisions.
Operations. And so somebody that you do their books, how often generally do you meet with them to go over their reports and everything? Or how often do you tell them that they should look at all those reports? At minimum.
Well, at minimum, I think you should look at your, at minimum, you should be looking at your P&L monthly and you should be looking at your balance sheet quarterly. That's a big piece. Like, that's, you know, the health of your business is reflected in your balance sheet. you asked a really interesting question, like how often, like, do I meet with my clients? I meet with them when they ask. I could tell you, and this is really sad, I would guess 60 to 70% of my clients don't even look at their reports. I don't even think they look at them. I know, like, that's really crazy,
that's
right?
Like,
and they just, it's just, they know it's there. They know it's there. They know it's being taken care of, and they, like, don't worry about it. And, like, you know, if all of a sudden they're like, oh, I need a loan. Oh, then all of a sudden, oh, I need a loan. I need a profit and loss and balance sheet. Gina, can you get it to me? Like, then all of a sudden it's important. The others, I would say we typically do, I have a client, I thought quarterly is usually when, like, I have clients that want to talk on a regular basis, and we usually do it on a quarterly basis.
Gotcha. So then if you're seeing these reports monthly, if you see red flags, do you bring them up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like I just said, I had a conversation literally just a couple of weeks ago with one of my clients and his payroll. I'm just was like, what is going on here? Like, something does, I mean, not,
that's
seem
a
right.
Great service, because, like, bookkeepers just enter, you know, normally just do the numbers and not really watching for red flags, but you've offered, that's a huge value.
Well, like, I will, like, we, somebody was reconciling an account, and we just realized his unemployment payment didn't go through. So I checked into it, and it didn't. The bank stopped it. And this client has had this happen a couple of times. For whatever reason, the bank does not accept the electronic payment. I know, it's like crazy. So, like, So I offered, literally this happened just before this call. I offered to pay it. I paid it out of my account. And then the client's just going to write me a check for it. I'm like, We just need to make sure this is taken care of.
Exactly.
But that's something we saw, because we're reconciling. And there's another piece that people don't do. They don't reconcile their accounts, which to me blows my brain. it does.
By reconciling, what exactly do you mean?
Right, exactly. They're like, oh, I reconcile it. And I go, how do you reconcile? Well, I just kind of look and make sure the numbers are there. And I'm like, yeah, that's not reconciling.
You actually take your statement and match
Yes, you have to take your statement. You have a beginning balance. You have an ending balance. You mark off all the things that, you know, and then you go, oh, you know what? You know, Tom Brown here, I wrote him a reimbursement check for his, you know, office supplies he bought 3 months ago, and he didn't cash his check yet. Maybe you should go ask Mr. Tom Brown why he hasn't cashed his check. Do you need us to, you know, reissue another one? Those are some of the conversations I have is, can you tell me why? Another good one is, and this just happened last week. I've got 3 deposits here you're showing in QuickBooks that says you've received these payments, but they didn't show up in the bank. What happened? Yeah. And nowadays, back in the day when you would go to the bank and bring all your checks, sometimes, and this has happened, a check will fall out and go underneath the seat, and it never got deposited. But you wouldn't catch that unless you reconciled.
Exactly.
Nowadays, it's the, you know, you take a picture with your phone, and they do one at a time. And this has been happening more and more, as they think it's gone through, and it hasn't. And so they've received it in QuickBooks, but it never hit the bank. And you wouldn't catch that unless you reconciled.
Yeah. I had a client that somebody was stealing the deposits on the way to the bank. And so they would just take a part of it. So they'd bring back, you know, the deposit slip, whatever. And unless you're reconciling, you don't realize that the amount you sent them with was different than the amount that they, because they deposited cash, right? And so it was unless they, and you know, if you didn't reconcile, they would have got away with it for a long time as opposed to just a month.
Yeah. So, and I've actually worked with 3 different companies in doing, I guess you'd call it investigating bookkeeping, where I literally had to go back and relook at everything. And I have found people stealing and had to go in front of board of directors and say, here's the proof. This is what I'm seeing. It really looks like this person's stealing, and they've had to arrest them. I've had that happen a couple of times in my 20 years. Yeah.
No,
it's not a good feeling.
It's why it's important to have another set of eyes on your books, though, as opposed to just somebody.
And processes. And processes. Like, you have to have a check and balance. Like, if you're going to have this person go to the bank with cash, who's the other person in the office that counterbalance and make sure what the cash you said you're taking is the actual cash that needs to go.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely. So if somebody wanted to hire you, what would the process of that? Would they call you? How did they get into your system? All the things. What is that?
So usually if you go to my webpage, which is greentreebk.com, when you go to my webpage, there's a contact us and it sends us an email. And we respond with the email with a profile sheet. We like to have our potential new clients fill out a profile sheet. It gives us some information on the client. And then once they return that, we schedule like a free consult with myself to kind of go over the details of it, and I can ask further questions. And then from there, it's, you know, are you wanting, you know, training, consulting, actual book work? And then we just kind of go from there. Once, if they do decide to hire us, then we follow up with contractors. And this is just a CYA for myself. I have a credit card form that they fill out, and we put that on file, along with the how to connect to their QuickBooks, and then how we go about getting their statements, and like kind of what the process is, and mm-hmm. then we take it from there. That's usually how that process works and looks.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all this great information being on the show. I'm sure we'll have you on again, dive in deeper on P&Ls specifically. I think that's such a great tool.
If it's okay, I'd like to also mention I do have a YouTube page. Okay, so if you absolutely. Go to YouTube and type in Greentree BK, I have, I don't know, about a dozen and a half videos out there, especially for newer businesses, or if you bring like a person in your office, they're like videos that are about 3 to 6 minutes long that kind of help with the bookkeeping process. And they're little awesome. Short things that you can like learn and understand about your business.
Awesome. And I'll make sure we put that in the show notes too, so people can just click on it from there.
Awesome.
But awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Miss Gina.
Oh, I so appreciate you having me. You have yourself a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Thank you.